Hello, everybody. Welcome in for another episode of Vol Club Confidential, brought to you by the great people at Knoxville Smiles. Coming up on tonight's show, we've got Tennessee basketball assistant Rod Clark. But before we get to him, we bring in Brandon Spurlock with the Volunteer Club. And Brandon, final tailgate, road tailgate at Vanderbilt coming up this weekend.
Can you believe it? We're already here?
Brother, in certain ways, no. And in certain ways, it feels like the NC State game in Charlotte was 6 years ago.
We've almost made it through the transition of football to basketball overlap. I know football season could be hopefully extended this year, which is what we're all wanting. We got to see how that's going to shake out. But I can't believe it's upon us.
The store down off State Street continues to really thrive on those home game weekends. How will that work, you know, with basketball season going? Will you still be able to go to, you know, Ball Club Outfitters and still get some swag?
Yeah, I think anytime there's a basketball home game, we will absolutely be open, you know, definitely the day of the game, 301 State Street. So for sure, you know, be able to go down there. And, you know, I think we might be carrying some of that gear that you have on there that's pretty sharp.
Yeah, I think we might have a little VolQuest run over there, no doubt about it. Have some VolQuest polos and some different things that Will Crockett's been working on. Finally, just from a big picture perspective, Tennessee women's basketball, nice run recruiting here under Coach Kim Caldwell. They've had a nice start to the season. Obviously, Rick and company, strong start to the season, and then baseball or football doing what they've done.
Yeah, it's just another day in the life in the everything school, I think. You know, and we don't take that for granted. I'm being funny there, but it's, you know, it's something that we take great pride in. I know that comes from the top with Danny White over in the athletic department. You know, it starts with football. That's the engine that drives the machine, but there's no reason we can't be the best in every sport, and we take that seriously. And great success that they're having, you know, women's basketball, not only in recruiting, but kind of getting the season started. So happy to be a part of that.
All right, sure. Now for more on Knoxville Smiles, here's JP Estrella.
I'm Tennessee basketball player JP Estrella. Let me give you a tour here of the offices at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Costa is placing implants with a robot, and it's all done digitally. There's no guessing with this since it's all robotic. Dr. Wilco is the newest addition to the office. He loves to research the latest and greatest in technology, so the other doctors go to him for the newest product information and techniques. Dr. Malone is building teeth in the mouth. To him, cosmetic bonding is more like artwork. He does this without cutting your teeth down. It's all about building them up.
Guys, we still have a problem. Y'all have a bigger chair?
So far, C? How are you doing, man?
Good.
You too.
Coach, you've been here a few years now. What have you learned to love about Tennessee?
You know, honestly, this is one of the most special places I think I've ever been. You know, I'm being from Kansas City, Missouri. You know, the closest major university is Kansas, University of Kansas. So, you know, the energy that campus has is unbelievable, obviously, and the basketball environment is unreal. But I've never been to a place where you could say the football environment is unreal, the basketball environment is unreal, the baseball environment is unreal, the women's basketball environment is unreal, softball is unreal. So just the energy that is in this place and in this city for the Vols is like no other. And, you know, I tell recruits all the time, like, we are the pro team, because if you think about the nearest pro teams, you know, you have the Tennessee Titans two hours away, the Atlanta Falcons 3 hours away, the Charlotte Hornets 3 hours away. Like, kids grow up around here wanting to be a Vol, right? And this entire city, I would say they completely are all bought in on Tennessee being the best university, for sure, best university and best sports university in the country. And I love that about this place.
What do you think makes you a good recruiter?
Honestly, just like what this program is about, we're organic, we're real, and we're about family first. We're about relationships. And I think that us as a staff, we do a good job of following that blueprint when it comes to the guys that we bring into the program. We just are ourselves. We make sure that their families know their kids are going to be well taken care of. They're going to be cared for. They're going to be cared about, not only as a basketball player, but just as a human, as a person, as a man. So the relationships and bonds that we have with our guys is extremely organic.
when you try to build those bonds, every situation is different. So how you recruit a kid from, you know, the inner city versus the rural country could be two different ways, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Are there any particular relationships that you had growing up, or how an adult handled you as a kid that stuck with you, that you know you've kind of leaned on and almost morphed into as it's, when you've been building relationships?
For sure. No, my grandfather, I spent a lot of time around him growing up. He was retired by the time I was born. You know, my grandfather was in his 80s when I was around 18-ish. So as a little kid, I'm, you know, hanging around a 67-year-old every day. And, he, you know, he's retired. I'm going to hang out on the stoop with all of his boys. And I'm 3 years old talking to, you know, 60-year-old men having full conversations. And that's how I learned how to communicate as a little kid. And then, you know, my mom was always, you know, really tough on me, really hard on me. Are really hard on me. You know, my grandmother had 6 grandkids. I was the 6th, the youngest, and I was the only boy. So I wasn't the, you know, oh, here's our little baby boy. It was more like, we got to make sure that this dude's not soft around all those women. So I was the one getting bullied and pushed around, and we got to make him tough. So it was a big point of emphasis when it came to that. But I grew up playing for my uncle, Calvin Wainwright. He's actually, you know, got a day named after him in Kansas City, where I'm from. And he was a coach in the inner city. He coached probably every kid that was good that come from Kansas City, Missouri. He coached us as kids. And I always – all of my coaching habits come from him. He was a God-fearing man, full of faith, really, really, really good guy, all about relationships, but he was tough. But he made his toughness feel like love, you know. He would get on you, and he had these big, thick, barreled hands because he's a big dude. And I remember he used to wear this big ring, and he used to pop us in our chest. But he'd smile at us. He'd be like, what are you supposed to do? You know, I was supposed to go set this screen up. All right, so you're going to do it next time, right? It's like, yeah. But it's like he did it in a way where it's like, man, he loves you. He just wants you to do it the right way. So all of the habits that I think that I've been able to – pick up on in my coaching career have kind of all been inspired by him. So he's a big inspiration for me into what I do now.
Do you see any of that in Coach Barnes?
1,000%. 1,000%. That's why I would say as a young coach, he's probably the perfect head coach for me to work for because of he's competitive, he's fiery, he believes in toughness, but he also embodies development. People development, development of young men and development of basketball players. And that's at my core, what I've always been around, what I've always been about, what I've always seen, and what I've always been a part of as well. So it's kind of like a perfect fit, honestly.
You're still so young. Like, I started looking up like your bio and I'm like, graduated 2015. Like, I mean, man, I've become the old dude and I didn't even realize it. When you got here, were you a young coach to kind of like, I got to figure it out? Or did you kind of come in like different? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think everybody, green. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Green. My grandfather used to always say, don't be dumb enough to think you're smart enough. And I've always held on to that. Always. Like, when I got here, I was 28 years old. I was competitive. Like, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to get to it. Like, I want to be good at this. Had no clue what I was doing.
How much do you feel like you've grown?
A ton. Astronomical amount.
What have you learned? From coaching, from developing, from recruiting, what have you learned? Is there specific things?
I've learned that you have to create your own niche. It's not necessarily about doing it the way someone else does it. You have to find your own approach to how you do things, how you handle situations. You know, my version of coaching on our staff is like, we all coach in different styles and they all, you know, mesh well with each other. But I'm the young coach that is kind of like, you know, I always say that like Coach Barnes is like the grandfather on the staff, you know. GP is like the dad, Ganey's like the uncle, and I'm the big brother. So we all come from different aspects. I'm gonna give you love. I'm going to come like, hey, it's okay. This is how we figure it out. I'm going to be the I'm the bridge in between the guys and coach to help them, to help coach articulate what he's saying to them. Because a lot of times, you know, coaches are like, hey, got to do it like this. What do you do? The guy's like, what is it? And I'll come explain it in the younger modern version so where they can understand it.
With
right?
slang and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they're like, okay, all right, I get it. But that's my job for our staff in general, is to kind of be that bridge. There's no reason for me to be a young coach and close in age to them if I'm not able to use that to my advantage. So I try to as much as possible. When it comes to recruiting these guys, I kind of help them understand how coach is. And, you know, when he is tough or when he does seem like he's coming down on guys and he's really, you know, demanding of them, what it really means, how much of it really means is love. Like, how much of it is him really just wanting to get the best that he can out of them. Because at the end of the day, I tell guys all the time, like, listen, I know you don't enjoy what we're doing right now. I know you don't enjoy, you know, how we're practicing or how long we're going or how hard we're going. But, like, look at those banners. As the coach sees his jewelry after practice, this is why we do it. And then when you get into games, you'll understand why we do what we do. And they always come back and they're like, I get what you were saying, coach.
Yeah, we've – football, defensive lineman I heard a couple of weeks ago, and I said, do you tell recruits when you talk to them, like, what Coach G is like? You know, because, I mean, like, it's easy to have Coach G say it, but it's nothing to hear it from a player.
For sure.
You know, and understand, like, you know, hey, you're probably not going to like him some days after practice. For sure. But at the end of the day, you're going to get better from it.
1,000%.
Coach Barnes kind of the same way.
1,000%. 1,000%. So the biggest thing that we tell guys is like, look, honestly, I'll be completely honest with you. This is what I say. Mentally, emotionally, and physically, this is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. The hardest thing. By far. If you feel like you're willing to go through that to get to your ultimate goal, then you'll do it. It's going to prepare you more than anything that's ever prepared you in your life. This is what is going to help you get to where you want to be. Some guys run from it. Some guys run to it. The guys that run to it, they come out pretty well. Like, Rick Barnes has 31 draft picks. That's a lot. A ton. Like, he has more draft picks than some coaches have coached in their career. Like, years that they've coached in their career. You know, he's an extremely accomplished head coach. That his, I'm only talking about draft picks. That's not even the amount of pros he's had. That's just draft picks. So, you know, the guys that don't shy away from it, they definitely are happy that they made the decision to come here. I'll never forget telling Dalton Connect, like, during the recruiting process, you know, you are the worst defender I think I've ever seen in my life. Rick Barnes can help you get to where you need to be. When he came on campus, coach sat there and told him, like, you are going to guard if you're going to play for me. But if you figure that out, you got a chance to be a special player. And Dalton never ran from it. The guys that we have on our roster, they've never ran from it, and that's why they're going to be successful.
Yeah, the other night, and he had a key steal, you know, in a win. You know, I was like,
1,000%.
Again, and he talked about it. Like, when he came out here on the show last year, he talked about just, like, I wanted somebody that was going to push me.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, he's going to score it no matter where he went.
No, 1,000%.
Because that's natural. You know what I mean?
1,000%. 1,000%. He was going to be who he was offensively wherever he went, because he was just that special and that good. But coming here just kind of unlocked a different level that I don't think he knew he had. I think Dalton knew it was there somewhere. He just needed somebody to pull it out. And coach held true to his promise. Like, I'm going to coach you harder than anybody that has ever coached you, but if, as long as you want it, like, I'm going to help you.
For you, you're a communications major.
Right.
Do you relish the chance to do stuff like this? Like, or like, if you get a chance to do the media, like, is this like, it's what I, you know?
I mean, it's cool. It's cool. I was actually one of the few, I would say, athletes that I was fine with public speaking. I didn't have issues with it. I think I got a B. Shout out to what was my teacher? It seems like it was a long time ago. It really wasn't. But yeah, Lindsey Wilson. I had a fun time with public speaking and nonverbal communication, things like that. It was good for me.
Do you relish when Coach Barnes goes story time?
You said, do I relish it?
Yeah, like when he goes into story time.
Man, listen, I worked for Coach for going on 4 years now. I've heard every story.
But sometimes, you know what? Sometimes three or four times.
Oh, no, no, sometimes. A lot of times. but if I'm being completely honest with you, he's pulled out a couple new ones on me this year that I haven't heard. I'm like, oh, okay, Coach, let me. And it's fun. You know what? Because I know so many other stories, and I've heard them multiple times, and I'm like, oh, I remember this one. Here we go. But then the new ones, I'm like intrigued. Like, let me hear this one. Because he's a pretty good storyteller, as I'm sure you know. He's a pretty good storyteller.
He is, yeah.
He's good. He loves it. He loves it. So I've heard some new ones that I really enjoy.
I just feel like he pulls out the rocking chair and just kind of sets his feet up.
Oh, so. Man. Listen, imagine official visit dinners. I've been in some all-timers, man. Some long ones. Really long. Really long. But it's great. He's a great soul.
So Coach Heupel loves to play the football recruits in basketball. That's his thing, right?
Yeah,
I don't think they play legit basketball. They just play horse or whatever.
Right.
And he can shoot. So like he wins most of the time. He's probably winning like 90% of the time. And these football players end up just so mad.
I've seen Hype play. Hype's nice. He got a nice jumper.
So what is it on these official visits for basketball that sets it apart? Like, is there a competitiveness in any of this stuff like there is with Coach Heupel playing basketball?
Nah, we really don't do that. I would say for us with official visits, and this is why we're always pretty successful with officials. We do everything that we do on a regular day besides we eat more with each other as a group. Otherwise, we do the same thing that we do every day. Every day.
And
recruits love that.
No matter what sport it is, official visits are all about eating.
Like, always.
And like, so like in football, like they hit, you know, like month of June is just official visit after official visit. So like these parents by the end of the June are like, I'm so tired of eating.
Yeah, exhausted.
Because you're eating it. It's just, there's always snacks.
Right.
There's always steak dinners.
1,000%. Like, and I feel bad for Hype. You know, I was at practice a couple weeks ago, and Hype has this little joke. He always comes over. He's like, man, when I grow up, I want to be a basketball coach. And I'm like, what? And so Hype, I guess he was on the plane with Coach. They were going somewhere. And, you know, Coach is like, man, I got two official visits this weekend, man. You got to lock in. And Hype's like, I mean, Rick, I got like 28, bro. Like, what are you talking about? And so Coach is like, you know, two, that's a lot for basketball.
It is, yeah.
Two is a lot of official visits. 28, I can't imagine. So I'm pretty sure you have to entertain and eat with everybody around there. You know what I mean? So that's why Hype has to get on that basketball court and try to work some of that off.
I've always laughed for years on Sundays, they'll have the breakfast with Hype before they leave, and it's like going to – you ever been to Disney and went to a character breakfast? Like, I feel like Hype's Mickey Mouse back in the back. You know, they just like each kid gets to go and have his picture made with him.
Right. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, your retort to Hype next time he says that should just be like, well, when I grow up, I want to make $9 million. He won't have
1,000%.
Much of a rebuttal.
1,000%.
He won't have much more of a rebuttal
than that. He won't. I don't think he will. He's a smart man.
What makes you smile?
Every day I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to have my family. I'm blessed to have a beautiful 3-year-old. I love life. I love life. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for the position that I'm in. I'm grateful for the people I wake up around every day. I love where I'm at in my life. So I don't think I have any reason to have my head down or to not smile. Like, I have every reason in the world to smile and be grateful for the blessings that I've been able to receive, and that's just me.
That's why he smiles now more on Knoxville Smiles.
Knoxville Smiles, depending on us to make your smile better. Knoxville Smiles, are you happy with your smile today? Knoxville Smiles, we're all about smiles.
Hey Lance, what makes you smile?
Pancake blocks.
All right, so you're a Kansas City guy. Does that mean you're a Chiefs guy?
1,000%.
Royals?
1,000%.
What basketball team then?
LA Lakers. Born and raised Laker fan. So how ironic. Dalton Connect ended up a Laker. Love it.
What is it? You know, I know Rick went watched him play. Did you get to go that night too?
No, I didn't. I was on a road recruiting.
Have you got something circled on trying to go watch him play? Because, I mean, no matter what, your season's going to end. you know, even if you went and played the national title game, it's going to end before the NBA regular season
for
ends.
Sure. For sure.
Well, then you'll be in the portal. There's no end for your job or really any college coach's job.
No, it's not. It's not. But it's time to carve out things like that. You know, one of my best friends, KT Turner, he's the head coach of UTA, UT Arlington basketball, and he's a big Laker fan. He's like, man, we got to take a boys trip. And last night I was actually I was talking to Dalton. He was like, man, you got to come to that game. When you coming? I'm like, look, man, like you're in the NBA. And looking at your team, hopefully I'll be playing for a while. So I'm going to have plenty of time, and I'm definitely going to get out there. So I definitely want to go. And I've never been in Crypto Arena, right? Being a Laker fan, you know, so I'm definitely looking forward to get out there and check them out one time.
Yeah, I think they wanted him to be on the bench just for bench scoring. And mm-hmm. and all of a sudden he's now starting. So
he found a way.
I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not.
I mean, the funny thing is I think he's doing a great job of just letting it come to him. Like, I don't think he's forcing anything. You know what I mean?
No, he's not. He's not. It was funny. You saw his interview the other day. Excuse me. And one of the reporters asked him, you know, any of these shots that you're taking, do you feel like any of them are tough shots? And he's like, no, I feel like every shot I take is going in. I feel like every shot's a good shot. And that – his teammates could tell you that might be the most Dalton answer you could ever have in the world.
But, it's not surprising at all.
No.
Uber confident guy.
Extremely. You know,
but a super nice guy.
Great guy. Great guy.
Could you get any better? I mean, you can't pay for the publicity of LeBron James saying, we just leaned on Dalton Connect. It was like he was back at Tennessee. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't pay for that.
No.
I mean, to have arguably, if not the greatest, the second greatest, you know, to say that.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's crazy. It's a real moment for him, I'm sure. It's the ultimate compliment, too. You know what I mean? And I'm happy for him because, you know, a year ago, I don't think people really knew who Dalton Connect was, obviously.
Not at this time.
People here knew because we're, you know, everyone in tune with Sports City, but around the country, nobody knew who Dalton Connect was. Yeah.
And ironically, that game that he went off like that and helped them win, Zach Edey fouled out.
No comment. No comment.
It's okay. I can make that comment.
Yeah, you can.
He's in the NBA. We can't comment on that. And we're not talking about Purdue.
Nah, that's true. That is true.
That was the one thing. Like, if you're a Memphis fan and you passed on Dalton.
Oh, man.
And then you ended up with the one guy that Tennessee Hoops fans just don't like at all.
Exactly. Literally. It's funny how God works. But you know what? I think he ended up in the perfect place for him because personality-wise, he's not L.A. That's not really him. But game-wise, he's built for that.
Oh, he's bright lights.
Oh, he's built for that. He's built for that completely.
Like, I think he'd be fantastic with the Knicks.
Oh, man, he would love it. He would love it.
MSG like, just chanting his name. Man, it's the next contract.
I'm telling you.
We've already switched his team in his rookie year.
Oh, listen.
And fantasy GM.
And it's funny, like, I don't think our fans know how much he loves and misses this place, man. Like, he talks about it all the time. Like, I asked him the other day, I said, hey, man, if you never transferred and you stayed in Northern Colorado, where do you think you would be playing right now? And this is no slight Northern Colorado. He's like, probably at Thornton Rec Center. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, you'd at least, like, be in a G League or something. He was like, I tell you one thing. If I had another year of eligibility, I wouldn't have been with the Lakers. I said, where would you be? He's like, I'd be at Tennessee. And I'm like, he loves this place. Like, it's no better place in the world. He feels like this place changed his life. It's, like, one of the most special places it could ever be for him. And I think that's a testament of the people here, of our fans, of the culture that we have with Tennessee sports, man. Like, completely, and this kid came and completely engulfed himself in this environment and in this city and community. And with open arms, our fans just took him in and they loved on him, and it changed his life forever. And obviously gave him some relationships that he'll never forget or he'll always have. And that's what makes this place special.
All right, pull out your phone. It's that part of the show where we call the one person that you know will answer the phone. We cannot call your wife either. That's too easy.
Call the one person I know.
The one person that you know you can always lean on and count on to answer. And we're going to find out if they do it.
Ooh, that's tough. What time is it? 3:44. Call the one person I know and answer the phone.
Yes. Who can you always count on, lean on? Again, I don't count your wife. That should be a no-brainer.
Do I say his name and everything?
Yes. Put him on speaker.
Jamal Walker, an assistant at the Ohio State University basketball. Right,
put him on speaker. We'll see if he's going to answer.
I'll call him and see.
He may have it on Do Not Disturb.
He might. I'm going to see if I'm important enough to him. He's like a big brother, man. I think I'm important. Molly Maul.
What's happening?
I'm on a podcast right now, and they said to call the one person in your phone that you know will answer that's not your wife.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah, he's serious, and you came through in the clutch.
Man, that's me, man. That's who I am. That's the clutch.
That's my guy. It's like my big brother here. He's been a big time mentor for me in my life and my career. That's my guy.
Man, I appreciate you saying that a lot. That means a lot, man.
Of course.
Hey, I always consider myself one of the people that you can always trust, man. So you can always count on. So I appreciate that, man. I'm glad you think of me that way.
I tell you what, you need to go up to Columbus. Coach Wallace owes you, for answering. Rod owes you a steak dinner at Hyde Park in Columbus. You think you make that happen?
Hey, man, that Hyde Park, man, that steak's fire. You got to have the dessert. You got to have the butter cake, man. The butter cake.
Hyde Park is unbelievably good. There's a couple locations. It's a couple.
It's really good. And the bread velvet cake is unbelievable.
Oh, look, he's on his fat boy stuff, man. Look at him.
See, again, we just talked about official visits. All you do is eat.
Literally. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you, Coach.
Absolutely, guys. All right, take it easy.
You too.
Walt, I'll you, man.
All right,
yeah.
Push up. Oh, he came through.
That's my guy. He came through, man.
Came
always
through.
Does. Always does.
All right, so you grew up a Lakers fan.
I did.
What was peak Lakers for you? Because you're not that old, so like the Magic Johnson era would have been Kobe. Over by the time you grew up.
But you know what? So I was one of those kids that when I was supposed to be asleep, I was downstairs watching Hardwood Classics and ESPN and watching old Laker games from the 80s. And so in high school, I wore number 32 because I loved Magic Johnson.
I love that.
Love Magic.
And I loved when he came back. You know what I mean? Like, even though it was like a brief stint, he had that one game late at night where he just kind of found the Magic again.
But like late 70s, early Magic was like peak. Early 80s Magic was he was like the craziest thing I'd ever seen. I loved him. I loved Magic Johnson. And then I obviously grew up Kobe.
Yeah.
My first NBA game I went to was an exhibition game at Kemper Arena in Kansas City, 1999, Kobe and Shaq in a preseason game with the Lakers. Changed my life.
First exhibition game I went to in the NBA was right over here at TBA, Bernard King and the Bullets.
Woo!
Hosting Michael Jordan and the Bulls.
You just showed your age.
I know, I'm old man.
My man. Old fella. That's
crazy. I was still a young kid though.
He said Bernard King. Wow, that's impressive. I like that though. That's impressive.
Yeah, it was. I think Wes Unseld was the coach of the Wizards.
Woo! Wow, it's a throwback, man.
It was the Bullets then.
That's a throwback.
Yeah,
the Bullets. I don't even know if they were the Bullets when I was born.
They were.
I don't know.
They were. Bullets. The Wizards didn't come to life.
Man, I was born in 1993.
I still think they were the Bullets then.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was like George Mirochon and all that.
Oh, okay. The 7-7. Okay. Yeah. No. Big time Laker, big time Kobe fan. My Laker fandom was
most underrated Laker of all time, Eddie Jones.
Oh, nice. Temple. Yeah.
I loved Eddie Jones.
Kobe was his backup, obviously.
Nick Van Exel.
Bad boy. Cincinnati. Bad boy. I love Nick the Quick. I loved the Lakers growing up. Like I really did. I always did. Kansas City didn't have an NBA team, and so
they used to have the Kings. Latch.
Yeah, I had the Kansas City Kings. My mom and grandfather, and uncles, and all of them used to talk about them. But yeah. I never saw any of that. So I was always itching for basketball. You know, they had the CBE Classic when I was growing up, college basketball tournament in Kansas City, and I used to go every year. And they had some really really good teams. I got great basketball memories from that, but basketball, I had to, you know, teams that came in town, that's what I had. And then I had the Kansas Jayhawks, which was big in my family. My uncle, Maurice King, was the first African-American starter to ever play Kansas basketball. He's from Kansas City, Missouri. The next year, his roommate came into town, Wilt Chamberlain. So I got some basketball history in my blood, man. It's deep. It's deep. So obviously, it's crazy to say I grew up a Kansas basketball fan.
That's natural, though. You know,
it's right there. Yeah. Like, people are like, you know, Mizzou. They're like, oh, Missouri, man, you back home. And I'm like, man, Columbia, Missouri is like 2 hours from me.
Yeah.
Lawrence, Kansas is like 45, 50. So it's a little bit easier to get to their games than go to Mizzou.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when you land in St. Louis, when you drive to Columbia, you're like dead in the middle between Kansas City and St. Louis. It's like just dead in the middle. Like, it's like whatever the 50% mark was, they said, boop.
For sure. For sure. I'm not a big Columbia, Missouri fan, personally, to be honest.
I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, you know, I'm from Missouri, but Kansas City, I'm not Columbia guy. But being a Kansas City sports fan, you have to be, like, my loyalty has always been tested in my lifetime. And then, you know what, I'm getting it back right now. Kansas City Chiefs might be the best franchise in sports right now.
Well, it is. I mean, they just keep winning, you know, in an era where there are no dynasties, you know.
Culture.
You get the right quarterback.
1,000%.
And it goes a long way. 1,000%. And then you add sprinkle around him Jones and Kelsey and different players. I mean, the facts are, I mean, once Tyreek left, I mean, it's not like they've had just some juggernaut receiver. Like,
no.
He just makes it work.
And just keeps winning. Special. Because when I was growing up, man, the Chiefs were awful. Like Elvis Gerback. I remember those days.
It's like the post Joe Montana.
Hey.
Little run there.
I hate to say this. Kay knows I love him. So, you know, Kay Phillips' uncle is Brody Croyle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I tell Kay all the time, like, your uncle caused me so much agony being a Chiefs fan. It was crazy. Shout out to Brody Croyle. But still, like, it was not a good time. But it's okay because we're good. We're back now.
in a big way.
In a huge way. And then the Royals, like, I was able to go to ALDS game this year because I was out that way recruiting, and it was special. I got to see the Royals and the Yankees play.
They still got the waterfall flowing at Kauffman.
Yes, sir. It's so cool. Like Kansas City, people that haven't been, the culture of the city and the love for the sports teams is like no other. And the blue collar mentality of the city is kind of what molded me. That's why I love being from Kansas City, Missouri. It's been huge for me. Just growing up as a young man.
You got to this point so early in your career. Are you still trying to be, you know, get there as quick as you can? Or are you more like, you know, I got to this point really quick. I want to enjoy kind of where I'm at right now. What I mean?
Yeah, no question. I'm definitely hungry and I still am eager to get better at all times, but I'm more of the later that you said. Like, I don't feel like I need to be in a rush because I got here early. And so for me, it's like I want to learn as much as I can because I tell people all the time, like, I want to be prepared. You know what I mean? I don't say ready. I say prepared because I don't think you're ready for anything that's, like, substantial. You know what I mean? Like, were we ready for marriage when we jumped into it? Probably not.
Were you ready for a kid?
You ready for a kid? Probably not. But was I ready for this job when I got here? Probably not. But I was prepared. You know, I just want to be prepared as I continue to, you know, go up in my career. And I want to learn from the guys I'm around. I want to learn from Coach Barnes. I want to learn from GP. Now I want to learn from Coach Ganey. You know, everybody on our staff. I want to learn from our guys. You know, I'm learning more than anything. Like, you know. My second child is going to be born on March 6th. Senior night for our guys is going to be March 8th. I came into this university. My first year was with Jemai Meshack and Zakai Ziegler.
Yeah.
I might cry 6 times that week, literally. That might be the most emotional week I've ever had in my life because I've watched them grow up so much, but they watched me grow up a ton as well. You know, I'm going to have my second child when they've been like big brothers to my youngest baby, or my baby now, Zara. So it's just, I'm really trying to enjoy every minute of where my feet are and just worry about where my feet are. Where I'm going, probably great places, but I'm fine with just hanging on for the ride.
So you have one girl now.
One girl.
What are you having the second time? Have you announced?
I'm having another girl.
Girl dad, man. I've got two myself.
Girl dad, my man.
And they are so partial. You know, the whole daddy's girl, mama's boy, that is the most legit thing there ever has been.
It's the realest ever.
You know.
It's the realest ever.
So, like, it's mine are 11 and 9. Uh-huh. And so, like, you know, I'm getting ready to have a lot of fun over the next few years.
There we go.
With a lot of, you know, the drama.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, it's... it's fun. Like, you know, like Addison's, my oldest is in middle school basketball. So she's eat up with basketball.
Of course.
Just wants to watch it. I mean, like, she'll be like, Daddy, the 92 All-Star game was on YouTube TV the other night. And so, like, she's watching. I'm like, well, who was good? And she's like, oh, Michael Jordan, you know, Magic Johnson. Like, she's naming them. And I'm like,
I love it. Like, where did she come from? Like,
I love that though, man. Like, I try to instill, right. Like my youngest, like, she like loves like 90s country, and like, so really? She loves to listen to like Keith Whitley and David Lee Murphy and all these songs, and I'm like, I think this is fantastic.
Oh man, it's amazing the things that your kids pick up that you didn't teach them. I think that's the coolest thing about raising kids, is like, you know, my daughter will come home and she'll just say something. I'm like, who taught you that? Yeah. Where'd you learn that? That's cool. I like that too. You know, it's just they grow into their own personality, and it's just cool. I think it's a reward seeing your kids grow up.
No doubt about it. Well, you continue to grow here at Tennessee. Tennessee fans are excited to have you on staff, and I know they're hoping for a big run here as we turn the calendar to December and then on into January, February, and March.
For sure. Looking forward to it. I love being here. I love our fans. And, you know, we're excited to have another year. Hopefully some exciting basketball from all nations. Try to win a lot of games.
He is Rod Clark. I'm Austin Price. We'll be back next week with another Ball Club Confidential.
Thank you. Take care.